Welcome to the PodTech.net Info Talk series here in San Francisco with Chris Shipley and Mike Siegel of the Guidewire Group. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
You guys are known in the technology circles. You meet with over 500 companies a year worldwide. You produce some of the marquee conferences, Demo, which everyone knows is really the coming out conference for all new emerging startups. You have Innovate Europe with global conferences. You have the upcoming Blog On conference, which is a premier event for the blogging community, going to be held in New York. What's going on with Guidewire these days? You guys are doing a lot of work. What's happening?
Just basically trying to keep up with everything. The market's been taking off, and there's a lot of new companies coming to market, a lot of new ideas, and we've been working to meet those companies and help get them introduced to the community who cares about emerging technologies.
You guys are running some global conferences right now, so you guys have do a lot of global view. I do a lot of podcasts about the global economy, how entrepreneurship's changing, and there's startups all around the world, and Silicon Valley is an epicenter of that, but yet it's being distributed. You guys are now syndicating out your conferences in Europe?
We started an event in Europe. The last one was last June. It was called Innovate Europe, and it was really focused on trying to help emerging technology companies from Europe get a position in the global stage. If you think about the last 20 years or so, we've had precious few technology companies come from Europe and become global leaders. That's not because there aren't smart people there, and it's not because there aren't great ideas and great technology, but the market across Europe is a bit fragmented, and it's very hard for a European startup to get into the global game in the same way that a U.S. company tends to get in the global game. So we founded Innovate Europe to help find the best emerging companies from around Europe and put them on a global stage.
And gets a platform for them to tie in with other entrepreneurs and other press outlets and people.
I think that was one of our key discoveries, is that the ecosystem of venture investment and services organizations and entrepreneurs and that, again, the ecosystem that we so know well here in Silicon Valley isn't as unified and as functioning in Europe. And so one of our goals with Innovate Europe was to try to shed some light on that and to talk about how these groups of individuals and companies could work together more effectively to promote entrepreneurship throughout Europe and help accelerate some of these startups to get them beyond their local markets and onto the global into the global market.
Chris, let's talk about that from that entrepreneurship perspective, because that's really a key thing. I mean, you guys know. I mean, you've lived here and you've been involved in Silicon Valley and in the community here and the ecosystem, as you call it. I mean, Silicon Valley has had a groove swing for decades when it comes to entrepreneurship. That's now percolating out into other parts of the world, from China, India, Europe. It's all fragmented. You mentioned that, Mike. What do you see in terms of your perspective happening, and what do you think needs to be in place for those folks in Europe from a startup perspective? Is it the lack of support? Is it capital? Is it visibility? Is it community? What are all the above? What do you see?
Yes, the short answer. I think it certainly is the investments environment is very different in Europe. The sense of networking and community that we experience here in Silicon Valley, very different and not really as cohesive, certainly, in Europe. Probably, though, the biggest factor, in my view, is the culture around risk. And there effectively isn't one. Risk is something that someone else does first. And if they're successful, then maybe you'll give it a shot. I refer to it as the great race to be second. Let someone else go out into the marketplace. Failure isn't an option. Failure isn't forgiven. Those things are really part of the gestalt of Silicon Valley, right? Making a mistake, you did that on somebody else's nickel. That's okay. You learned a lot.
Yeah. Scar tissue.
Let's do it again. In Europe, failure is, it's a disgrace. It's why I told you you shouldn't take this risk, and look what you did. Absolutely. So trying to make a shift. There are a lot of cultural and social shifts that stand in the way of entrepreneurship as we know it here.
But there's a ton of innovation. I mean, there's a lot of startups coming out of the Netherlands and Europe, Asia. I mean, with the web, Do you see it changing in terms of where do you see the tipping point of that happening? Obviously, you guys run a lot of events. You see kind of how the conferences turn out. What's your view on where that is on the scale? Is it going to be there soon? Is it farther out? And what's your advice to some of the European?
Well, I certainly think that the technologies that we've seen in Europe are every bit as good as those that we're seeing in the States or elsewhere in the world. It's not a technology issue. It's not an innovation issue. It's a company issue. So there's a lot of great engineering. There's not a lot of great company management. And I think that's where we need to really focus or help to focus and promote entrepreneurship throughout Europe is, you know, how do you build businesses around these great ideas?
That's a great point. And that's echoed, by the way, by some of the VCs. Scott Sandell at NEA talked in depth about China. Great opportunities, just not enough entrepreneurs. It's one of those things where just not enough talent.
That's right.
On how to and what to do.
I think some of the really good entrepreneurs that we saw at Innovate Europe had the same kind of characteristic that you see in great entrepreneurs here in the Valley, which was a global view of what their company could accomplish and who the markets they can serve. Entrepreneurs here in the U.S. have a built-in advantage because they have such a very large market to start off with. But any great entrepreneur, nevertheless, has a global view of what they can accomplish over a period of time. The best entrepreneurs that we saw in Europe also had a global view, despite the fact they were starting in, you know, a small Netherlands market or a small French market or whatever the case may be.
I mean, those barriers are definitely coming down. Look at Jamster. I mean, these guys basically can be in Germany. Is it Jamster does the ringtones? I mean, about $500 million in revenue these guys are doing.
Right.
With the net, they can do it.
And when they start out, they have that view of we are a global technology company serving a global market, not a German technology company serving a German market. And I think one of the things that we've seen is there's a bit more, for lack of a better term, celebration of entrepreneurs who are taking that view, and they're recognized around the world as opposed to, you know, some of the folks who are still in Europe and have this risk profile issue in regards to entrepreneurs coming to market. So it's an accelerating pattern, but it's not it's probably not moving as fast as it still could.
Well, you guys are doing a great service for those folks over there, those entrepreneurs, and I know you guys got a lot of experience. You know, Chris, you've been doing demo for years. How many years have you been producing demo now?
It's about 9 years now.
9 years now. I mean, you know, demo has become the coming out event for startups. And you talk about that social and the ecosystem of entrepreneurship. What's going on with demo these days? You're doing one in the fall, which is right around the corner. I'll be there. You talk to companies. You travel around the world, in the United States. You talk to a lot of companies. Some companies don't make it. You pick some ones you think look great. Which ones did you pick?
Well, of course,
tell
I
us.
Can't tell you that. But on September 19th, you can find out.
Areas. I mean, I was just joking, but, you know,
sure.
See if I can get you to say who they are. But, you know, big trends. I mean, mobility. I mean, where do you see the hot spots? I mean, you see everybody.
Well, first I'll say we do look at 500, 600 companies a year. And for the demo events, about 130, 140 of them between demo and demo fall will have a chance to debut at the event. And I should say that the quality of companies that we're seeing is excellent. The kinds of innovations and ideas is excellent. And also seeing, I think, a real highly dispersed kind of trend set, if you will. You know, it's a few years ago, you just like lemmings everyone lined up behind wireless, and then they lined up behind this, you know, this kind of e-commerce, these sorts of things. And I think that the downturn of the last couple of years allowed a lot of people to kind of sit back. They weren't going to get funding anyway, and they didn't really have fulfilling jobs, perhaps, and they're out on their own. So let's go just do what we love. Let's go build a product that we want to have. And the result of that, and not exclusively, but the result of that really is a wide array of things that are coming to the market that are really, really useful. And you know, if there were sort of a big trend into demo fall, I'd say it's about how things are just getting simpler. And, you know, whether it's how do I move photos around, and we've talked about photo sharing a lot over the years, or how do I build enterprise applications? How do I start a company? I mean, the barrier to entry to start a business today is very low, and yet the technology that you have at your disposal for easy access, very little money, is as powerful as a lot of enterprise applications through ASP-delivered services and things of this sort. So I think that there's this sort of trend toward ease and simplicity. And I would say that's a quite an Uber trend, but within that, lots of other interesting things happening in consumer and enterprise.
So what you're saying, if I hear you correctly, is that with the downturn, people had a little reality break, get real or die. I mean, if you're an existing company, hunker down, build something that's going to work, no fantasy. And for startups, do something that you're passionate about that can have a viable chance.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in say the late 90s, 2000, were building companies that were based on where they believed opportunity to be. It's going to be in this e-commerce thing, and e-commerce is going to be big, so let's go after that. Now what can we do in e-commerce? Rather than, I have this problem. And if I have this problem, maybe enough other people have this problem that there's a business here. That kind of thinking, I think, has led a lot of development over the last few years. And what we're seeing is products that are being built that solve real problems for real customers. And some of these companies will be, I think, very successful and grow to be very large. Some of them will be wonderful acquisition targets for larger companies, where they're building more sort of point solution kind of technologies. But I think we're back to a place where there's some rich innovation happening.
Yeah, and the environment's actually getting more complex. I mean, we have the web's 10 years old. It's evolving to Web 2.0 or whatever people want to call it. Wireless and mobility. I mean, the word convergent, which was kind of a punchline to get funding years ago, is actually happening. So the simplicity thing, let's talk about that. Is it simplicity from a user standpoint? Is it simplicity from using technology? Where do you see the simplification, or do you see it across the board?
I think it's coming in at a lot of places. Certainly, maybe the term convergence isn't in style anymore, but if you think about your mobile phone, it's a computer in your pocket that gives you, I call it remote control access to so much else in your life, whether it's files on your desktop or your calendar on a web service or something of this sort. Just a range of things in which your phone really is the center. You talk about user interface, and we'll see it at demo this year, a number of products and technologies that are all about making this stuff really easy to use. And it's sophisticated technology, but when faced to the user, it's just super simple. It's like, why didn't we think of that years ago? This is brilliant. So I think you've got sort of both levels of things happening. Or by another vector, simple to buy. You look at a lot of enterprise technologies now that are really about how can we get these into the organization, buy it, install it, and be up and running in a very short period of time, meaning hours, not days or weeks, and certainly not big month-long implementation projects that take millions of dollars. So I think whether it's simple to buy or simple to use, making things life generally more simple, it's playing in at all those angles.
Well, that kind of leads into my final question as we come up to the kind of the segment limit is prediction 5 years out. What do you see that will be a change in our lives that will be profound that technology will enable?
I think that technology becomes invisible, and it's part of so much of what we do. It's probably literally the fabric in our lives in some ways, but you won't think about it as technology. You'll just think about it as this really cool way to get information or way to communicate or just way to be.
Well, great prediction. Utility, information as a utility. Hey, that's great. In our fabric, which means clothes.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Wearable computer. I remember that was at a demo one time. Was that a demo? Wearable computer?
We've seen some of it, but there's a UK company, Lectex, that's making a fabric that essentially puts the I/O for your cell phone or for your iPod into your ski jacket. And, companies like some of the outerwear companies in sports are already doing that. So I think we'll see a lot more of that kind of thing.
Mike, big prediction from you. You're doing the blog on commerce. Make a prediction in the blogosphere. You're doing a lot of work with the blogs. You guys do a lot of research here. Big prediction in the blog world. What's going to happen?
I guess
podcasting world.
Yeah, podcasting world. No, I guess I would say for social media in general, which is what Blog On focuses on, is that we're going to see a lot more revenue generation for social media entrepreneurs and companies coming out of corporate customers who want to be able to use the opportunity to create their own media and their own conversations with their markets than we've already seen in, you know, what traditional media is doing.
Great prediction. We got some big trends here. We talked about utility, monetization for social media. Thanks for the podcast.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.